My message is based on two portions of Luke chapter 2. First, the visit of the shepherds to Bethlehem. After their visit, we are told the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And then second, in the same chapter, Luke 2, the story of aged Simeon, whose picture is on the cover of your bulletin today. And that's also was our gospel lesson a few moments ago. Now this man, Simeon, he recognized the child Jesus as the promised Messiah, and he took the child in his arms and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." In the name of Jesus, the promised Messiah, dear friends, for many people, Christmas is over. The decorations have come down, presents have been put away or returned. Does Christmas have any lasting difference in our lives? You bet. Yes, indeed. This morning, let us consider that Christmas does two things. Christmas makes life worth living, and Christmas removes the fear of dying. First, Christmas makes life worth living. Now, those shepherds who were tending their flocks in the fields outside of Bethlehem, they certainly did not have an easy life. They struggled with adverse weather, as we are right now, and wild animals were a threat and always an ever-present reality. I would say it was difficult for them to make a living. And no doubt they were as hard up at times for good news as we are today, maybe more so. And no doubt there were times when they even wondered if life was worth living. We are told in the midst of all this, an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And we're told that with haste the shepherds went to Bethlehem to worship the Christ. Notice it does not say with haste they went to Bethlehem in order to investigate and check out whether these things were really true. They believed. They went to Bethlehem to worship the Christ. And they returned glorifying and praising God. The experience changed their lives. You might say that Christmas actually made their lives worth living. What about for you and me? You know, for us, the days before and after Christmas are kind of like an emotional roller coaster. The joys of Christmas soon give way to kind of a huge letdown. For some people, even depression. Once again, we're confronted with life. We got to go back to the old grind. We're confronted with the burdens of life. And what are these burdens? Well, for a Christian, there's always the burden of guilt. You know, even though you and I love God and we love our Savior Jesus, we have such a difficult time fighting our sinful nature. For example, soon it will be 2018. How many times have you made a New Year's resolution to control your anger, your hatred, your impatience? How many times have you resolved to be a better wife, a better husband, a better parent, child? How many times have you asked God to help you be more loving and forgiving? And how many times have you vowed to be humble and to trust God rather than yourself? To trust His plans rather than your plans? And how many times have you come up short with all of these resolutions? I know I have. Guilt. Guilt can be a heavy burden. And then there's the burden of simply living in such a troubled world. Every night we turn on the news and I say, how many minutes are going to go by before they have a good story about something happy, something nice? So little good news, so much bad news every day. Wars, terrorism, refugees, hunger, disease, you name it. And like those shepherds in the field outside Bethlehem, all of this makes us kind of afraid. Afraid of the unknown. And then there are burdens that we experience closer to home. An illness right within the family. An accident, some family member. Death of a family member. Strained relationships among family members. Yes, for some people, facing all these burdens, there are times when life does not seem worth living. Nevertheless, my friends, if we truly understand what Christmas is all about, we will see that life is indeed worth living. What Christmas is all about was revealed by the angel to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Unto you is born a Savior. Important words. You have a Savior. Jesus came on that first Christmas to be our Savior, to rescue us from all that separates us from God and life in Him. He came to atone for our sins by giving His life on the cross for our sins, bearing our guilt and punishment. He came to make us holy, forgiven, children of God. Thus, whatever your burdens might be at the present time, whatever my burdens might be, we are not alone. We can bring those burdens to our Lord and Savior, our living Lord and Savior, knowing that He understands. You see, at Christmas, God didn't do something marvelous way out there in outer space. He actually came to our earth in the person of His Son. Jesus experienced everything we experience. He experienced our trials, our temptations. And so He knows and He sympathizes with us in our times of testing. He assures us of His love and His forgiveness. He promises His grace and strength will be sufficient to meet every need we might have now and in 2018, the year to come. Now, maybe if you're real young, you don't remember Irma Bombeck. Irma Bombeck was one of these writers of social columns, kind of like a Dear Abby type of thing, you know. She's no longer living, but in one of her columns, she told of a Sunday at her church. She was sitting there in the pew, and in the pew right in front of her, this little child turned around and was grinning and smiling from ear to ear. And finally, the mother grabbed that child and jerked him around and whispered, "Stop smiling. You're in church." And Irma relates that she wanted to grab that child and hug him and tell him all about the happy God, the smiling God, the God who brings joy and makes life worth living. Our second point today, Christmas removes the fear of dying. Now, there was this law, Old Testament law in the teachings of Moses, that your firstborn child, a male child, had to be presented to the Lord. So 40 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph took their newborn child, firstborn son, to the temple. Or according to this Jewish law, he must be presented to the Lord. And at the temple there, they met an old man by the name of Simeon. We read about him before. We're told that he was a spirit-possessed man, that he was a righteous man. And he had spent most of his life waiting. Waiting, we're told, for the consolation, that means the comfort promised to Israel. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he was never going to die until he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes. Messiah and Christ are the same terms. They mean the same thing. So when Simeon saw the infant in Mary's arms, his waiting was over. And we're told that he knew this was the Christ. He knew that this was the one that had been promised. He knew something else. He knew that someday a sword would pierce Mary's soul, and that her son would die, that he would die for the sins of the world. Sad, and yet in that death, there would be salvation, not only for Simeon, and not only for the Israelites, but also the Gentiles, in fact, for the whole world. And so taking the child into his arms, he said, and by the way, I grew up with the King James Bible, that dates me, I guess, and I remember what he said this way, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation." Some of the modern translations have what you have in your bulletin today. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." In other words, I'm ready to die. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people." You know, in our world today, I tell you, they spend so much time and money and effort just helping people have a good time, helping them live life, preparing for the good life. But what are we doing to help people face death, which is also a reality of life? Simeon was ready to die. Why? Well, because he saw in Jesus a Savior from sin. He saw in Jesus one who, according to the second chapter of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the Bible, and I'm going to quote from the second chapter of that book, he saw in Jesus one who would, quote, "destroy him who holds the power of death," that is the devil, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." It has often been said that Christmas is one of the happiest days of the year, and I would never argue with that. We've had some wonderful, happy times in our family around the trees with our children and grandchildren and our two cats. But anyway, it can also be one of the cruelest days of the year. You read about that all the time. Cruel because, well, it brings great pain to those families where a loved one has gone before to heaven. And there's much we don't know about heaven, but we do know two things. First, Christ, now our Savior, who was born in Bethlehem, he has opened the way to heaven by his death and resurrection, so that all who repent and put their trust in him will go to heaven. You know the passage, "God so loved the world." Well, heaven is a sure thing for all who put their trust in him. The second thing we know is that in heaven, at God's right hand, there are joys and pleasures forevermore. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, tells us that there will be no more death there, no more mourning, that's M-O-U-R-N, no more mourning or crying or pain, for we will be in the presence of God and see him as he is. As we now get ready within 24 hours to enter a new year, there are certainly many uncertainties, things that you and I have no control over at all. But with Simeon, we put our trust in him who is in control. I don't have this in my manuscript, but I was reminded of it that last week I was digging around at a sermon that I gave about this time of the year in the year 2010. And I made that same statement. The new year's coming, 2011, we don't really know. Within 2 to 3 weeks, I had my first cancer surgery, and the next month I had a very long cancer surgery. Didn't have a clue about any of that when I was saying that at the end of December in front of a congregation. So we don't know. But with Simeon, we put our trust in him who does know and who has control, who has the whole world in his hands, and who has you and me in those loving hands. Christmas, it makes life worth living. Christmas, it removes the fear of dying. Christmas, what difference does it make? Hey, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.